This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we are celebrating the Labor Day weekend. And so I'm sure that everyone that is not here, it's out there having fun with their families or doing or celebrating the last holiday of the summer. The Labor Day movement, I learned, is dedicated to a social and the economic achievements of American workers. During my sabbatical time in Zimbabwe, one of the things that really struck me was that 90% of the people are unemployed. While we here in the United States, we celebrate the day of the workers when we have jobs, you know, and we complain, you know, 6% of unemployment, and we are like, you know, not very happy. But 90% in Zimbabwe don't have jobs. And my heart breaks when I talk to all these young people and they tell me, you know, we just graduated, but we still don't have jobs. The scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Ecclesiastes, written several centuries before Christ, by the kind of philosopher. He was actually called a preacher. He reflects on the eternal question of the meaning of life. We know the philosopher by the famous phrase, "For everything there is a season, and a time of every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to mourn, and a time to dance." Actually, he's being cynic. "There is nothing new under the sun." He concludes, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Ecclesiastes reflects on the topic of work. And it becomes almost wishful thinking, I think, believe, when he says, "I hated all my toils in which I had toiled under the sun." He hated it. Well, besides, he adds, "I am going to have to turn my work over to people who won't do it like I do it. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolishly, yet they will be master of all of which I toil. This is also vanity." Finally, in verse 24, the writer makes a profound and good observation. And he says, "There is nothing better for mortals than to eat and drink and find enjoyment in their toil." Isn't that wonderful when we find that enjoyment? When we finally sit down, rest, and we say, "Ah, oh, we need to take that break." It occurs to me that right up there, among the greatest blessings in life, is going to work on Monday. Don't you think? When we go Monday, oh my goodness, we all dread Mondays. Because Monday is the first day when we really need to go to work and really work. But the fact remains that it is an elusive blessing, I believe. It is complicated, the issue of work. We all enjoy our works if we really enjoy what we're doing. But it's not the case for everyone. Our faith tradition, based on the assertion that the human beings are created in God's image, maintain that we have value because of our image with God, and that therefore human beings, regardless of their wealth, race, ethnicity, gender, life, condition, or station, deserve and owe respect, dignity, equality, compassion, care, and love. Consequently, that anything and everything that demeans, humiliates human beings is not to be condoned or blessed. The New York Times editorial last year pointed a very important fact, that Americans have trespassed Japanese in the number of hours on the job that we are working more and enjoying less. We're workaholics, you know. We love to go to work, and I don't know why, but we do. And that's when we get sick. Have you noticed how the workplace has quietly gone into our daily lives? Through our cell phones. I mean, you know, you got your job agendas in the cell phone, and you're going with your cell phone, and you don't let go of the cell phone. You go to dinner and your cell phone, where is the cell phone? And the same goes with the children. I had a family the other day, and they said, you know, I've been calling my son over and over, and he doesn't answer. But when I text him, he immediately responds. Isn't that something? We're just going all this electronic, even in our own homes. Perhaps the most important biblical word about work comes later from St. Paul, writing to the early church in Corinth. Paul says there are a variety of gifts, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, each is given a gift, a skill, an ability to put to work for the common good. No one is left out. All of us have something that God has given us. There is work for everyone, especially here in the church. There's always something to do. During my journey in Zimbabwe, I was invited by the Reformation and Vision Committee to interview 20 or 30 some evangelists. And I only interviewed 28. I was excited to do this work because I said, well, you know, it will take me from north to south, east and west of Zimbabwe. And it was truly, that was my experience there. And I'll show you some pictures after my sermon. And the whole experience was to really have these five questions about their own ministry. How do they really feel supported, love, care for, minister? And so I learned so much about the struggles and the issues that all these evangelists go through. Evangelists in Zimbabwe are equivalent to CREs, which is our commission ruling elders. In my interview, evangelists share their stories and their challenges, but they also share their passion about ministry. You know, they only make $38 a month. And I'm thinking, how could you survive with a family with $38? I'm just thinking out loud. But none of them really complained. The biggest issue was not the money. The biggest issue is, when are we going to have money to continue expanding the word of in the ministry in Zimbabwe? We don't have churches here. We don't have churches. And they start naming the areas where they needed to plant new churches. I was excited to see in the energy and the passion to do church in Zimbabwe, regardless of the 80% of people unemployed, regardless that the offerings are just few cents for all these, you know, people that barely make money for those who are working. Perhaps the most important task for each of us, I think it is, to discern and to claim and to do our own projects, our projects of love that we feel so passionate. If not in church, in the secular world, with our families, in whatever we find pleasure to do. What a blessing if we can earn a living at it. But not everyone can do that. Sometimes a job is the means by how much we earn, or how many hours do we get paid. Our vacation is more important. But we need to focus more, I think, in our labor of love. I will never forget the faces of the orphan children in Zimbabwe. You know, attending their gardens, caring for their food for the next day. And there is the issue of water. You know, when I, one day after my second week in Zimbabwe, I said, I really need to take a shower. And they brought me a half a bucket of water. And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? Wash my hair or what do I do? But because the water is so limited and it's so precious, you know, there is buckets of water. When the water comes in, everybody's lining up to fill up the buckets. And so we need to give thanks to God for all the blessings. You know, I see this beautiful sanctuary and I think, thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful sanctuary that we can enjoy and worship you. And all of these folks in Zimbabwe, no chairs, no buildings. They do church in the open air. Whenever there is a tree and they feel that this is the place God is calling them to do a ministry, that's where the ministry starts. I went to a church and preached there, and there was no chairs. There was all people sitting in, there's like 2-3 pews, and they were all full. And they're all cramming in that, you know, pews. And finally, some of the ladies with children sat on the floor. And I'm thinking, you know, and they were there. There's about 100 people there. And I'm thinking, there is a spirit, there is passion, there is desire to worship, to come to church. No matter what distance, no matter if it's money, no money, people were there to worship. God has work in each of us to do something beautiful in our lives. In the economy of creation, our own labor of love. So that love we need to discern. Where is it that God is calling us? Where is it that God is calling us to do in this church, in this life? And sometimes our life is short, so we need to think about those.